You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Our scripture reading is in Psalms 136, first three verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would add to your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Father, we're thankful to be here this morning, Lord. Most of all, that you are the one we look to, the author of the word. And Father, we seek this morning to worship you in spirit and truth. We're thankful, Lord, that our Bible, your word, is truth, and it's the foundation of our belief. Father, we're thankful for that anchor. We're so thankful that it's not a word written by man with no inspiration. Father, we just pray that we'd be true to that word, true to you, that we might walk in light. These graces we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Paul Harvey, this last Thursday or Friday, I don't know if many of you listened to it, but you know, a lot of times he has on the rest of the story, he has some really good things. And as I was thinking about and preparing for my topic this morning, and it just worked out perfect, the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story, is either Thursday or Friday on the way home, I heard this. It's kind of interesting. And what it was in for the 400th anniversary of Columbus Day, our nation, now this would be 1892. Remember that he sailed the ocean blue in 1492? So 400th anniversary would be 1892. Well, for commemoration of the birthday of Columbus, they planned to have children throughout the nation recite a few words. Okay? Now, this is paraphrasing, and I haven't gotten a copy of Paul Harvey's, printed form, so I'm paraphrasing this. But originally, those words, I believe, were something like this in paraphrase, that the children were to say, I pledge my heart to my family, my flag, and my country. Basically, something like that. And the editor of the magazine who was promoting this, they're having a meeting there, and they covered those words. He said they just seemed to him to be even too childish, even for children to say, as far as they wanted something a little different. So he looked to this junior editor, and he simply said, fix it. And so later, the junior editor was to come up with the words, and he was struggling over it, and he's in his office at night, and finally, the words came to him, and the words, of course, were the Pledge of Allegiance, with the exception of Under God. Now, Under God was added in 1952, okay? But so that's where the pledge came from, evidently, is in 1892, the 400th anniversary of Columbus, discovering America. So it's very interesting. Now, it's also interesting, that Columbus Day has become controversial in many parts of our country. You know why? Well, that's the old darkness versus light. It's the same old thing. You know, Columbus set out, it was for the cause of Christ, basically. And so now they try to say that, it's for other things. And that Christianity is the enemy. And see, this will all come together as far as, the attacks on the World Trade Center, Pentagon, and such. But anyway, I thought that was rather interesting. Matter of fact, the United States flag, believe it or not, is controversial in some parts of our country. Very controversial. Just the flag. And something that recently happened is, many of you know a good friend of mine, Charlie Meadows, but those of you that don't, I'd like to tell you a little story. He went up to Amherst, Massachusetts, September 9th. He was in Amherst. He went up there to visit a couple of friends of ours that had lived here for a while and had moved back to Amherst. And one of the reasons for Charlie's trip, other than to visit the friends, was to take a picture of the Amherst City Hall and their flag. Guess what flag flies over the Amherst City Hall? United Nations. No United States flag. Amherst, Massachusetts. Okay, so Charlie was going to go up. He has a little radio program now. Charlie does 1400 down in Norman station that from 7 to 9 every morning Charlie's on that program. And so he was going to use this in relation to his program and everything. And so anyway, what's interesting timing is they have now their form of government in Amherst, it's one of the most liberal cities in the United States. Their form of government there isn't a city council. It's a, I forget what they call it, but there was a, they had this meeting of elected officials. There were six there. Now, let me see. Wasn't the 11th on a Tuesday? Okay, so Monday night they had the meeting in Amherst. And so Charlie happened to be there. And one of the discussions for Amherst there had been that they thought it a pity that aliens could not vote in local elections. And so that was a debate. The aliens should be able to vote. And so Charlie showed up at the meeting, and as Charlie has a disease, and it is when he sees a mic, he's got to be behind it. Loves the Lord, Charlie, okay? So Charlie, you know, there's a mic, so he ends up behind the mic, and he announces that he's an alien from Oklahoma. And he'd like to have partake in their in the proceedings there. Now, keep in mind, this is Monday, before the attack Tuesday morning. And so it's quite a ruckus. Now, there's a few veterans there in this meeting, too, see? So Charlie's stirring them up and giving them, trying to, you know, spur them on to patriotism. And, but one of the arguments was that they were voting on how many times the United States flag should be flown in Amherst that year. And one of the officials said that it should be one time, and that's on July 4th, and the United States flag should not be flown other than that one time. Well, and there's five others that they thought, no, that now this is flags throughout town I'm talking about, too. Flags throughout town, there's 24 of them. So on the they had debate, and then the others said, no, they should be flown six times, these 24 flags. Okay. And so lo and behold, largest paper up there, Amherst doesn't have one evidently, but the largest paper is Springfield. And so it stirred quite a bit. So Charlie's picture ends up being in the Springfield paper on this deal, this guy from Oklahoma. Well, the next morning, after the attack, veterans called Charlie after the attack and said, we've got to do something. And so do something, they did. They went down to City Hall and they said, where are those flags kept? And the men that worked in City Hall said, we can't tell you where the flags are. As they led them to the flags, we can't tell you where the flags are kept. So Charlie and the veteran proceeded to put up 24 United States flags in the city of Amherst. Well, that's where they put them up. There's certain places in town, like downtown or whatever. And then so by the afternoon, after the attack, the flags were ordered, half staff, but in one of the first places they stopped their location for the flag was a policeman came up to him. And Charlie didn't know if he was going to be arrested or what. And the man said, God bless you, the policeman. They didn't have a ladder at first. They used a pickup truck and got on top of the bed or whatever to reach up. And then businessmen and women are coming out and giving them ladders to get up, and people are applauding them and such as that in Amherst. So he went back and they lowered the flags to half staff. Well, there's a problem. Charlie could not, and this is rightfully so, flag etiquette. Another flag's not supposed to be flown above the U.S. flag, see. Now, there may be, they may have made allowances for the U.N. flag, I don't know. But so Charlie went up to the courthouse or City Hall and lowered the U.N. flag to about three quarters down. This was later, last week, it was covered on Rush Limbaugh. Tony Snow brought it up, so it made national news. But that's an example of one person taking a stand for the right thing, see. And so I thought I'd share that with you. It kind of fits into what I'm going to talk about. From a scriptural basis, I want to take the words, a few of the words of the pledge, and kind of analyze them as far as scripture. And the first part I want to look at is the one nation from Scripture. Turn, if you will, to Genesis 9:6. You've heard this before, maybe, but we want to review it to really understand why. This, of course, is a scripture that is the entire basis of civil government. It's merely capital punishment. Genesis 9:6. The Lord to Noah, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Where are most nations of the earth, where they stand on capital punishment? Against it. The communist government of South Africa, if within the last few months, has passed a resolution saying that if any country has capital punishment, they would not extradite a terrorist to that country. This is the same country that before the Mandela and the communists took over, abortion was against the law. Of course, now it's not. So they flip-flopped it since Mandela took over. But that's where most of the countries of the world stand on capital punishment. They're against it. Exactly against what the Lord has said there. If we would turn to Genesis 9:11:1. Here we have the beginning of nationhood. Of course, it's the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, verse 1, gives us the setting there. "Then the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." And that's not a redundancy. The speech means, I think as I've covered it before, that the same type of thoughts. Otherwise, the same thought permeated. There was no dissension. Okay, and it was what? It was evil. And if you go down to verse 6, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one." They've all come together here, of course, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. "And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." So let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. "So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." So at that point in time, God established 70 different nations. And the nations are given us throughout the chapter there. You have the nations based as far as Shem, Ham, and Japheth in the division there. But then, if you would, let's turn to Genesis chapter 12 and look at, let's read verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This is the first mention of nation in the Bible, that Abram would be made a great nation, the very first mention of nation within the Bible. Now let's go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 17. Verse 26, and the sixth word there, blood, is, you scratch that out. I don't believe that's in the text there. But anyway, it says, "And hath made of one all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined," and this is the point I really want to dwell on, "the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." God is in charge of nationhood. He hath before determined every nation. And what? The time of it, the times before appointed, and not only that, the bounds of their habitation. God is, we know God is a sovereign God, and he's in charge of nationhood. Okay? It's a good thing. Okay, so that's a little bit of covering the biblical basis of nationhood. As far as, remember, we're covering one nation, Okay, now, the next phrase I want to cover from Scripture is under God. Now, remember, that to the pledge was added in 1952. You know, as we've clearly seen, God is a sovereign God. And we understand that as far as nations. He does what he wants to do. But specifically, more specifically, concerning our nation being under God. There's an article in the Daily Oklahoman, October the 3rd. Short article written by a, I'm sure, wonderful Christian lady from Sulphur, Oklahoma. But I want to use it as an illustration, or read it, to see if you think there's anything wrong with it. I'm proud to be a Christian in America. I'm not more afraid today because of the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the presence of terrorists in the U.S., the status of the economy, or the impending war. I'm more courageous than ever because I'm excited about what God will do as we stand strong, united and protected by the armor of God, the belt of His truth buckled tightly around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, the gospel of peace firmly fitted on our feet. We face the enemy wearing the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and bearing the sword of the Spirit. God's goodness and mercy will follow us as we march across America and the world on our knees praying. We're empowered by the presence of God. God will be on our side to expose and defeat the enemy as we go to war. He will be glorified. There's no question this lady is probably a very sincere Christian. And she's obviously familiar with the sixth chapter of Ephesians there as far as the Christian's armor. And what she's done, she's incorporated our nation as being a bearer of truth and light, and therefore being empowered by the presence of God. Okay? That's what she's done. Now, if you will, pay close attention to the quote. God will be on our side to expose and defeat the enemy as we go to war. My comment on that statement is, I would not guarantee it. Think about it. I may even doubt it, as I feel it's not accurate. If you think through it, ask yourself the question, why would God be on our side? Sincerely. God's character is unchanging, right? He's a sovereign God. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Can we say the same concerning our nation's character? Truthfully, no. Obviously not. The question is not whether God is on our side or not, but are we on His side? And how do we know? It's simple. God has revealed to us His truth through His Word. And John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Right? The most serious problem in our nation is not from acts of violence or terrorism and those things, as dreadful and as harmful and as awful as those things are. That is not our most severe problem. Our overwhelming danger, as I'm sure many of you know, is our spiraling decline as far as the moral decay of our nation. The evidence is obvious. Our nation's laws are becoming more anti-God, anti-family, anti-biblical, and more unconstitutional every day. And I'll just use a few examples of the last few days. Some of the evidence includes, number one, increasing, changing attitudes concerning promoting homosexuality. Okay. Number two, abortion and euthanasia are continually embraced as merely options or choices of conscience, not based on biblical truth. And our society is continually embracing socialism as being proper and just. That is the welfare state. The government, federal government, take care of everything. Now, if the pulpits of our nation hadn't failed, okay, our nation would not have been as influenced by the works of darkness. It's that simple. The lie reigns in many instances because our churches are weak in the scriptures, in a really in-depth, strong understanding of the Word of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Wonderful instructions. That we as Christians henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 17 through 20. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. In verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. And that's the problem. Three examples. One, on homosexuality. Within the past month, President Bush appointed an ambassador to Romania. The ambassador to Romania happened to be homosexual. He was introduced by Colin Powell, and his partner was there and introduced also. So much for stand. Nation stands for righteousness concerning homosexuality. Point two, Jerry Falwell, after the attack on the World Trade Center and Pentagon, issued some type of statement that this could be possibly a judgment of God, and he brought up the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, and other stands, abortion, homosexuality, and those type of things, rightfully so. And within 24 hours, he was so condemned over the airways, if you would, and they used it, that he had to issue an apology within 24 hours, and he did such. Point number three, day before yesterday, headlines in the newspaper, the Farm Bill was overwhelmingly approved, and that's just merely an example of socialism rampant. At the same time they approved the overwhelming Farm Bill price subsidies, they said they agreed with the Freedom to Farm Act that was supposed to end subsidies. So they gave us some dry water in that situation. That's just three examples within the last 3 days. This morning happened to pick it up that the Coalition for Traditional Values was issued a statement that was in opposition to Senator Clinton. She made the statement that homosexuals' partners should receive federal funding if they were lost in the attack on the World Trade Center or Pentagon. And so here, your federal tax dollars will be going to so-called partners of homosexuals, and anything other than that would be un-American. Senator Clinton. That's 3 days. The last 3 days I'm talking about. Now, and these are just three things that are actions that are directly opposed to the Word of God. Okay? And then, at the same time, we say we're seeking God's face and His strength and His blessing as we fight terrorism. Now, how do you think God feels about that? I don't know. As far as His blessing, that's why I had the scripture reading this morning. If you read Psalm 136, every verse says, His mercy endureth forever. And to that I say, thank the Lord. Another another word that we should be so thankful for is grace. If God was dealing in righteous judgment, our nation, we would be history, wouldn't we? But thank the Lord, His mercy endureth forever and grace. Now, indivisible. Another word in the pledge, okay? Truly, the attack on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon has done more to unite our country than anything since Pearl Harbor. I don't think there's any question about that. The Korean War, speaking of wars since Pearl Harbor, the Korean War was a conflict that was set up and controlled by the United Nations, pure and simple. That was had nothing to do with uniting our country, pretty much. In Vietnam, as those of you that are my age or older, we clearly remember. Now, I was in high school during the Vietnam War, as some of you were. Very divisive time. That war did not unite our country. Of course, it was a time of severe bitterness. And, of course, then we had the Gulf War about 10 years ago that was pretty much an economic endeavor that fell short, you know, because they didn't take out Saddam Hussein. Purposely left him in charge. But now, after the attack, you seem to see the hyphens disappearing. What I mean by hyphens, I mean like African American, a Mexican American, Italian American, or whoever American. Now, it's American. Think about that. That's a good thing. So the result of that has been a growing amount of patriotism that I'm proud to be an American. Okay, now, at the State Fair this year, we had a booth out there, and, you know, the patriotism, really, among the people has really risen since the attack. And it's a very good thing. And, you know, the flag is prominently displayed as, maybe not in Amherst yet, okay, but here it's prominently displayed in the right way. So truly, you know, it is a good thing. And you know it's a good thing because the other side, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I saw the first ad I've seen from the United Nations. Just a UN ad. Did you see the ad? Well, let me tell you. Yeah, they're advertising that they too are against terrorism. They had to take a paid ad. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of people who understand it's a big lie. And, you know, the UN saying they're against terrorism is like this story about what the fox said when he was caught raiding the chicken house one night. If you haven't heard this, well, he said, here's what he said. He said, when caught red-handed, he merely said he was protecting the hens, that he couldn't have been guilty because he's a vegetarian. That is pretty much how the UN opposes terrorism. The fact is the UN has supported terrorism over the years. And it's sad, but there's a history of that, and I won't get into that any further. But only the future will tell and will show, as far as the indivisibility of our nation to come together, patriotism. It is a very good thing. And it has been astounding to see that. And there are many from the other side, as far as the New World Order people and the One World Government pro-UN people, they don't like that. No, they don't like that at all. Because nationhood to them is an evil thing. Okay? Whereas really it's a good thing, as we've seen from Scripture. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Liberty and justice. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 3:17. A good verse to commit to memory. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We need to remember that. If the Spirit of the Lord is not there, there's nothing to do with liberty. Nothing at all. And if you would let's look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I think in laying that out, you talk about, you know, the other religions, religion of Islam and everything. It's so true, isn't it? But if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So sad. Their God is not our God. And those of you that can make it tomorrow night, I'm sure we'll find that out, some interesting questions. Allah is not the God we worship. It's such a sad thing. The words "for all." I can only say that this should include the unborn. Liberty and justice for all. And maybe it will in the future here. But it should include the unborn. You can't tell me liberty and justice and life for all when little babies are killed. When our nation sows the wind, we will reap what? The whirlwind. God's laws remain unchanged, and to expect God's blessing while violating in a very blatant manner those laws, it is absurdity in the highest, isn't it? Really, it is. To me, you know, we need to pray and pray heavy, and we really need to be light at this time. We have all kinds of opportunity to witness our Lord Jesus Christ and the God that we serve. And it's a big time to be praying, obviously, for our leaders to do the right thing. But and I think it's a very real fear that our nation is going to endure some very difficult times as far as attacks and things like that and loss of life. And so it's a time that, you know, we've been praying for our nation every third week around here ever since this church began, I guess, and what were we ever on target, right? Anyway, that's all I have this morning. That there's a pausing note there is that, you know, our light, as it shines, you know, it takes out the darkness. But we have all kinds of opportunity right now as far as the witnessing and the knowledge of that. And, those of you that received the article this morning, that's on republics and democracies. And the part of the pledge, of course, is the republic for which stand. Read that if you hadn't seen it, and I don't think you have. Those of you that have the article, I didn't give it to you. But republics and democracies, such an important, important difference. So whenever you hear the word democracy, think of it in a very despicable way, whereas republic is a blessing from on high. Let's close. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to share this morning concerning our nation And Father, we just we do pray for our nation. We pray that there will be a resounding restoration of the things that this nation stands for, as far as being constitutional, as far as it being proper and good and just. And Father, we pray that each one of us, well, we might have a little part in that, whether we speak out in letters to the editor or just to our neighbors or friends or here at church. Father, we just thank you for these things. We thank you most of all, Lord, that regardless how violence touches our nation, that those in Christ will have eternal life with you. And we thank you, Father, for that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.